Northwest Arkansas is now home to a think tank that will focus on research and policy with the goal of driving economic renewal in the Heartland. The organization, called Heartland Forward, is supported by members of the Walton family and will be overseen by President and CEO Ross Duvall. Duvall stopped by the KUAF studios to speak with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek about the work they'll be undertaking.
We hear the term think tank a lot on NPR, on network TV news, in newspaper articles. So what is a think tank? What does a think tank do?
Well, a traditional think tank that you think inside the Beltway of D.C. tends to be a research institute that focuses on a few issues, topical issues, or they may be more broad, like international economics. And they're trying to conduct research and put out recommendations that might be utilized informing policymakers. Heartland Forward is a little different in that we call ourselves a think and do tank, with heavy emphasis on the do, because I'm a firm believer from my work at the Milken Institute for nearly 20 years that you're conducting research to find patterns to be able to make recommendations for policymakers so that they can implement some of your ideas. So we're going to be heavily focused on working with key stakeholders, policy leaders, governors, senators, mayors, local officials, economic development officers, and heavily engaged in trying to serve as a catalyst to not only educating the decision makers, but helping them with informed policy implementation.
This think tank will specifically focus on the Heartland and the economic issues that part of the country is experiencing. So what are those issues that maybe the coasts aren't seeing?
You know, good question. So we're going to be focused on what we call the Heartland, a kind of a broad 20-state region that runs from North Dakota east to Michigan, down through Alabama, west to Texas.
So it's a pretty wide swath.
It's a big Heartland. So there are some challenges the Heartland faces. Obviously, the downsizing in manufacturing, largely due to international competition, and I would say an over-reliance on one or two companies in various places so that you're not resilient when economic change hits you, you're not prepared for it, you don't see it coming. One of the other things we're going to be working on in focus of Heartland Forward is the importance of entrepreneurship and scale up and having those ecosystems that allow you to create new companies, grow them, scale them up, and eventually some of them become mid-sized companies. If you look at the Heartland, it has some places in the Heartland have some of the lowest rates of entrepreneurship, and especially what I would call knowledge-based entrepreneurship. That means these are firms that have founders that are going after substantial regional and national and international markets. Those are going to be some of the areas. The other area we're going to be principally focused on is building human capital. What I mean by that it's all the way through, obviously, bachelor's degrees and up, but also career technical education, training people for the jobs of the future, what some people might have called vocational education back in the old days until parents were told to inform their kids that vocational education was a dirty word. Today, we call it career technical education, and this is a launching pad for good middle-class jobs you can support families on, and I think it's been underappreciated. So trying to tie career pathways all the way through and tying them to more knowledge-based industries that require those skills.
People who don't live in the Heartland have their preconceived notions about what the Heartland is. But I'm wondering if you're also running into situations where you have to convince people in the Heartland that they need to move away from certain economies that they've become accustomed to. Is that something that you're running into as well?
Yes, that's a very good question. That's one of the reasons why I say a think and do tank, because you do need to continue to do the research, and we're going to be heavily focused on that. But, for example, economic development officials, many of them are aware that a more balanced portfolio approach to economic development, meaning not just recruiting firms from outside, some of us would call that smokestack chasing, where you bring in a large manufacturing plant and it's 200 jobs announced at once. That gets a lot of headlines for politicians. But if you look at the data, what it shows you is that entrepreneurs are the ones that create jobs for places. And we need to reallocate more of our resources towards helping develop skills, capacity for entrepreneurs, the support infrastructure, access to early stage capital, the skills training, learning how to look at a balance sheet, all those kind of basic skills so that people better appreciate you don't necessarily have to go to work for someone else. You might want to do that for a while, but there are other options. And I think that's one of the things that elected officials and economic development officials haven't really fully grasped here in the heartland. So I will make that quite clear and demonstrate that through very strong statistical evidence. The other area here that we're in a university town is universities are underutilized in the heartland in terms of economic development engines, innovation engines. I and my colleagues at the Milken Institute have done a lot of work looking at the importance of research universities that not only perform important technology-based research, but also are involved in commercialization and tech transfer, getting that to the private sector where it can create jobs for their graduates, it can create capital and return, and it's a very important, I think, underutilized asset here in the heartland.
And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I am reading more and more that places like the heartland are becoming more attractive to people on the coast because it's becoming exceedingly difficult to make enough money to live in some of these places. So is that a kind of advantage that the heartland does have that it can start attracting maybe people to start moving back instead of out?
That is an excellent question. In fact, our next research project is going to be titled Millennials in the Heartland. We're looking at the living expenses on the West Coast in particular, even on the East Coast. And basically, if you're a millennial and you work in San Francisco, Seattle, Silicon Valley, up and down the West Coast, if you're not going to be in the money soon, meaning you have stock options you can cash in 2 to 3 years, and you're looking at either starting a family or already have started a family, the economics just don't compute. For example, a two-bedroom apartment anywhere in San Francisco adjacent or even in Seattle, it's $6,000 a month for a 1,200-square-foot apartment. So we're looking at the data, the census data and the IRS data, looking at people that have left the heartland. They either might have grown up here, gone to university here, and now are on the coasts, and collecting that data. And there is some evidence that millennials in particular, and even older folks like me, have left the coast and come back to the heartland. And also people who weren't necessarily from the heartland, but from the coast, now that we have digital technologies, you can do a lot of work from anywhere, even from remote locations, that there's a better lifestyle here. You don't have to spend an hour and a half each day, each way driving to work like I did for 20 years and many other people do on the West Coast. I did it in LA. And so we're starting to see that. We're going to see a massive exodus from California this year. There's already anecdotal evidence that shows it, but there's going to be a large net domestic outmigration from California, a lot of it related to high housing costs and the cost of living overall.
So you mentioned the one study that you're going to be doing. Anything else that you have coming down the pipeline that you can talk about in terms of the type of research that you'll be doing in the near future?
Yes. Another one that we're heavily involved in, this one's highly quantitative, but I've been out trying to explain it to people. There's a new data set that the Census Bureau has put together that allows us to look at the importance of young firms across the country at the county level. And it has, you can look at by age of firm, size of firm, and then it also has different socioeconomic characteristics of employees. This has never been compiled together before. So what it allows us to do is to examine the causal relationship between having more young firms and more knowledge-intensive firms. So young firms define firms 5 years of age or less, and looking at employment as a percent of total employment in a place, in a metro, in a micro, as a measure of the broad entrepreneurial awareness and capacity. And then secondly, And this is something I've been hypothesizing for many years, but have never had the data to test it. The Census Bureau data allows you to look at the percent of employees at young firms have a bachelor's degree or above. And that is highly significant and independently significant from the overall entrepreneurship. So what that measures is these are firms that are being started by founders that are hiring employees that have bachelor's degrees and above. They plan on scaling up, and the more of those firms you have, the higher proportion that are going to become mid-sized firms that create a lot of jobs. And those are high-wage jobs. And so economic development officials that I've spoken to who are enlightened kind of feel this. They know it, but they don't have the evidence to show elected officials to demonstrate that they need to change the way they approach economic development.
The Heartland is still very heavily agricultural. So how does that fit in to these other economic goals?
Well, obviously, we are much more heavily agricultural-based, perfectly understandable. And in a time period when agricultural prices have been rising, say from like 2010 or 11 through 2014, we were doing better in the agricultural economy. Since then, farm prices have been depressed and there's real pain out there, and especially with the tariff war that's underway with China that targeted American agricultural exports, they are hurting. I would say that we have maintained too large a presence in commodity-based agriculture and haven't looked at more integrated food systems and trying to increase the efficiency in the crops that are grown. So I think there are things that can be done. We're going to continue to be reliant on agriculture. It's part of the Heartland, and it's a big contribution to the economic performance. So part of it is trying to utilize technology to be more efficient in agriculture. So when you think about how you use GPS technology to more efficiently apply fertilizers and not fertilize too heavy in some places in a field, and this technology exists, it's already being implemented, to more integrated food systems, I think that's part of it, but we need to move up the value chain. We still are the most efficient agricultural producing region in the world.
So why is Bentonville a good place for this kind of work? Aside from the fact that Heartland Forward is being backed by members of the Walton Family Foundation, but is there anything about Northwest Arkansas's place in the country that makes it a good place for this kind of research?
Well, one reason is that this is a place that whose history is based on entrepreneurship. You know, if firms from J.B. Hunt to Tyson to Walmart, they were all based on family entrepreneurship. And you look at how they've scaled up and completely changed this region. It's also kind of at a crossroads of what would have been considered the Old North and the Old South. And if you put a heart in the middle of the United States, it comes right down through Northwest Arkansas. So it's in the center, and it has agriculture close by. It has large corporations. It has a university, which is a critical feature. So I think it's a great location to place Heartland Forward.
So a little bit of a microcosm of all the things that this is trying to explore.
Exactly. And it's I wrote a paper on this last year about how would you define the Heartland and how it's evolved in terms of definition. And you clearly see that as the industrial linkages became much more stronger north and south, especially with the auto industry, you can see that going into Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, especially, that there were much more integration between what was the north and the south, and people in Texas feeling they're part of the Heartland, and people in Wisconsin feeling that they're part of the Heartland. A pejorative term that people on the coast, where I used to live, might have called flyover country, isn't really flyover country, but those perceptions are out there. And if we're going to remain a nation that is unified, the Heartland has to participate in the economic performance. Otherwise, we do risk pulling apart.
So once you complete your research on a particular subject, what happens from there? how do you disseminate the information? What do you hope people do once they have the information? How does it work from there?
Well, certainly our publications, everything will be available on our website, heartlandforward.org. Everything's publicly available. There will be easy to use interactive mapping systems, GIS systems, where you can click on your micropolitan, your metropolitan, and understand how you're doing and have access to our research. But the information will be disseminated through convenings where myself or other senior research staff might be out speaking to different conferences, and I have a number of those coming up over the next few weeks. We will also have our own convenings where, for example, we're going to be having a convening jointly with the St. Louis Federal Reserve November 4th in Crystal Bridges on kind of the regional economic outlook and the national outlook as well. So we'll be doing some of those joint things and then also convenings on our own. But we'll also have a programming element. So this is the do part. We will be scaling up and bringing in people who are knowledgeable in all these areas I just discussed, but we'll be working with other groups who have expertise in terms of on-the-ground knowledge of how to work with entrepreneurs and communities to build capacity, how to better explain to policy leaders investments in career technical education and updating curriculum and kind of working with those other groups. And then also direct interventions, especially with universities. This is a passion of mine. I've done a lot of work around the world in this area. If you're going to be truly successful, and I believe this as a nation, we have to better utilize the research and commercialize it here in the United States, but especially in the heartland, if we're going to be successful. The other important thing to emphasize is that we're going to be trying to help smaller communities as well. The micropolitans, those are communities where you have one town with at least 10,000 people, but not more than 50,000, but can be a collection. So you might have 120,000 people in a micropolitan. We're going to be focusing more of our efforts on trying to help them because they have been the forgotten and they feel abandoned. And so they're being buffeted by these challenges much more than any other place, metropolitans in particular. And so we're going to have a key focus on those smaller communities and trying to disseminate this information to them and give them implementation assistance.
So I would imagine that Northwest Arkansas will benefit from this research that's happening here directly. But what's the idea behind spreading the wealth throughout all these other communities? And by wealth, I mean the research and the knowledge that you've collected.
Some places in the heartland are doing well. We need to share what has worked to other places. Some things are transferable, other things are not, but many of the policies are. And we cannot continue to be a cohesive country. We could literally fall apart if the heartland, the center of the country, does not participate in economic growth because this is real. People on the coast, many tend to look down at people from the heartland. You're not as bright. You're not as intelligent. I was adopted by the West Coast as in, a member of the intelligentsia, but I grew up in Ohio. My first job out of graduate school was with the Union Pacific Railroad in Omaha, Nebraska. So I am of and from the heartland. And we need to change those perceptions. And part of that is we need to have more confidence in our own ability. We know what can work. It's going to require some dramatic changes, in many cases transformative, but they have to be undertaken.
Well, thank you very much for stopping by our studio.
I appreciate the opportunity to share it with you.
That was Ross Duvall, the president and CEO of Heartland Forward, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. The organization's inaugural team also includes two visiting fellows, Richard Florida, a professor of business and creativity at the University of Toronto's Rotman School of Management, and Joel Kotkin, currently the executive director of the Center for Opportunity, Urbanism, and a fellow at Chapman University in Southern California. This is Ozarks at Large.